Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be here with you again. I haven't been for a while. Maybe since June. That's a long time to not have been here, but it's great to see you and to read of your plans for camp and the movie nights and hear about how people are too tired to dance because they've been at a camp out overnight and all those things. So it's great to be here. And it's very funny to be preaching on this passage from Mark 10, 35 to 45, which I think if you've been at church for a little bit, you know the memory verse. But the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. We can start to say these things and we can forget what it actually means. It's very easy. It trips off the tongue. But I was reminded when I was reading this passage and when I was doing the Bible studies for the Synod meeting, which was a couple of weeks, a week and a half, only just finished. It feels like a much longer time ago than only a week ago, about what does it mean to live as a community that serves one another. And we hear from this story about James and John, the sons of thunder. That's the sons of Zebedee. James and John, the sons of thunder, who in Mark, it's them asking. In one of the other Gospels, it's their mother asking Jesus, which just sounds awful. Imagine your mum going to ask the Saviour of the world if you and your brother could sit next to the Saviour of the world at the end time. That's a bit embarrassing. It feels a little bit better that James and John are actually, you know, we would like to sit there with you, Jesus. But they don't understand, do they? They have no idea. Just before this passage, Jesus has told them the Son of Man will be killed on a cross and then will rise again. And then James and John go, so can we be next to you when you come in glory? They don't get it. They still don't get it. They've just heard he's going to die and now apparently they're asking to be with him when he comes in glory. What do they think that glory is? They don't understand. And of course the other disciples get very annoyed. How come they're asking this question? How dare you? And what was Jesus's answer? Because they probably don't know the answer. They probably think, well, they've got the best seats. Where are we going to sit? Because remember, to sit at the right and the left-hand side were the most important seats at a table, right and left-hand side of the teacher. We hear in John's Gospel about how John sitting on the right-hand side, the beloved disciple sitting there, and then Judas is on the left, and he's the one that does the wrong thing. Yeah, but those are the most important places. Peter's a bit jealous. He wants to be sitting next to Jesus. How come you're sitting there? How come I'm not sitting there? Peter's very good at being jealous. So we've got this story about serving. We're to serve one another. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And because there's good, nice Christian people, we tend to take that very literally, right? So I can remember being part of youth group and we're all going to go out to dinner. And no one wants to be the first. We all want to be the last because the first shall be the last and the last shall be first. Yeah, so we're all trying to, oh, I don't mind where we go. No, neither do I. No, neither do I. For half an hour, where they're going, oh, whatever's fine with you is fine with me. And everyone's saying that. And then you can never make a decision, can you? Okay, or if someone, this is, as for someone who likes to make decisions, I find it very frustrating. So if someone decides, well, let's have curry, someone else goes, oh, but I can't have chili. You're like, okay. So it's really not that you'll be fine. It's that you just don't want to put yourself forward, right? Because that's not a good Christian thing to do. Or we're all going, we're going to have coffee now. And everyone goes up to everyone else. Would you? I can get you some coffee. No, I can get you some coffee. No, I can get, and no one gets the coffee. Because we're all trying to serve one another. We're trying to outdo one another in serving so that when the time comes and we're at the pearly gates, we're thinking, I know we don't think this at the front of our mind, but when you say it out loud, you realise how stupid it is. Oh, well, Glenda, you served James T 10 times, but Marianne only served James T 9 times. So Glenda, you get to go in first and you get the penthouse and then Marianne's at floor 9 and then floor, you know, there's a... We think there's a hierarchy. Whoever has served the most people, whether they wanted to be served or not, gets the top billing. Their names are in lights, okay? And you can see this in other, in synod meetings, sometimes we do a memorial minutes. We remember those who have died, ministers and lay people who have died, who have done a lot of service. And at the end, it always says, and God will greet you, well done, you good and faithful servant, every time. And what we hear are these stories of men and women who have put serving the church above and beyond everything else, serving God above and beyond everything else. Sometimes I wonder what their families think about that. But we really elevate servanthood, and we should. Servanthood is a very good thing. We should be serving one another. But sometimes we make it that serving go in the wrong shape. We make it a competition, like I just said. How am I serving you more? Or we get very annoyed if the thing we want to do as service is not what other people want us to do as service. So I'll tell you a couple of stories and then I'll reflect on a different Bible reading. When you feel called to the ministry, the specified ministry, so to be ordained, there's a big process. And some people don't like that process. I'm sure my husband is there rolling his eyes right now. They don't like this process, but this is the process. I feel I've been called to the ministry. I go and talk to my minister or the church council, and they have to discern, they have to pray and work out, do we agree? Do we, as a group of disciples, also think you are called to ministry? I can't just go, I'm called, and so therefore all of you have to agree with me. Because God talks to each of us, not just to one. Yeah? God talks to each of us, not just to one. So I feel called, other people affirm that call, and so that's why I'm now ordained. I'm not ordained because I decided Jesus had called me to be a minister, and the church just went, okay, of course that's right. No, we discern together. It's like when you elect church council members, you actually have to vote for them. They can't just turn up and be on church council. When you vote for someone to be the presbytery secretary, Olive, although sometimes it feels like this, people actually have to affirm that that's your calling. I have to say that sometimes presbytery secretary is more the body that's left standing rather than everyone clamouring for that servant job. Yeah. But to be able to serve in the body of Christ, we are serving for the good of the whole community, not to lord it over others. Yeah? So this is, I think, the bit that we always forget from this servanthood. The servanthood is not about, look at me, I'm serving, making sure that we're number one. Everyone will go, oh, they've got a servant heart. Oh, yeah, they have a servant heart. And so we're doing the same thing, aren't we? We're doing exactly the same thing as Jesus was talking to his disciples about. In the Gentile world, they have kings who lord it over them, and everyone has to serve that king. We do the same thing, but, oh, James, he has a servant heart. We got to make sure James is really good. And instead of, you know, you getting money and people serving you, you get that status of, oh, you've got a servant heart. And if that is your motivation, that is not the right thing. Because the motivation is to puff yourself up, to make yourself, look at me, I'm a servant. Look at how I'm serving. It's very, very easy to get trapped in there. To get trapped by, look at me, I'm a servant. Rather than, what needs to be done and how can I serve? And how will my serving help everybody? How will my serving build up this community? Not how will my serving make me look good? Yeah, it's very hard. It will always be mucked up in our brains. It will be together. Don't worry if you're thinking, oh no, I do this all the time. Because it will always be together with the other really good intention that you might have. We can't help it. We're human. We are fallen, we think and we do the wrong thing. So, I'll tell you a story about a congregation I was in. I'm not going to tell you where. And the people there were always seen as having very great servant hearts. They're always helping, they're doing stuff, they're ringing, they're doing all these things. But when one person didn't respond well to their helpful nature, they started complaining about how that one person wasn't grateful for their servant, for how they were trying to serve them. Do you see the difference? They're going, oh, but I'm trying to serve you and you're ignoring me. How dare you? I'm serving. You should be grateful that I'm serving. That's not the point. The point is to have a servant heart, to help people in the way they need to be helped, not just in the way that you would like to help them. And that always brings me, and I love, this is the big church word, ecclesiology, understanding what the church is. Because we have these great ideals of the church, hey? The church, this community, the whole church, is to be the body of Christ, a community of love, a household of God. And we all know that we fail miserably at doing those things. But we do know that that is who God has called us to be, a community of love, community that serves one another and that serves the world. We know from the early church stories that the people who weren't part of the Christian communities were like, these people are weird. They love people who they're not related to, right? They love people they're not related to, as well as eat flesh and drink blood, which is a bit weird as well. But they were, you know, they love people they're not related to. They care for one another. They put all their money together and they make sure no one goes hungry. We know that that's what people saw of that early church. But we also know from the scriptures that the early church argued with each other all the time. They, and this is in 1 Corinthians, this is my favourite part. It leads up to that wonderful passage, 1 Corinthians 13, that we have in weddings, right? And we can make that all beautiful, love is patient, love is kind, isn't that beautiful? But it's actually Paul berating the church at Corinth because they have decided that some people are more important than others. If you've got this gift, you're up here, but this gift's down here, right? If you're rich, you're more important. You can come early to church, to their worshiping gathering. They ate all the food and drank all the drink. They were actually drunk before the people who had to work for a living turned up, and there was no food left. Paul is actually getting angry at them when he's telling them about love is patient, love is kind. Paul is there saying to them, you think you are so great, but you are not. You are treating one another with disrespect. You are not valuing each other. If you are hungry before you come to church, eat and then go to church so that everyone can share in this meal. He's saying to them, you are actually disrespecting the meal that Jesus ate with his disciples by doing this. And then he says that, remembers that story that we do during communion. For I pass on to you what I got from the Lord, for on the night on which he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread, broke it. Okay, he tells them that. And then the next passage, the next part he talks about is the body of Christ. The arm can't say to the leg, I do not need you. Imagine if we were all eyes or all ears. Every part of the body of Christ is as important as the other. Every part. And all the parts are to work for the building up of the whole of the body. Not for the arm to go, look at me, I'm an arm, I'm exciting, but to go, look at us. We are the body of Christ, here to serve the world for which Christ died, to love one another, to care for one another, and to share that love that is only possible through Jesus with the whole world around us. It's very different from going, look at me, I'm serving. No, no. Look at us. We are followers of Christ. And then he says, he talks about how everyone has a variety of gifts. Some have the gifts of speaking different languages. Some has the gifts of interpreting. Some have prophecy. Some have teaching. I wish you all to have the best gifts, but there is a still more better way, and I will tell you what it is. And then he talks about love. Faith, and then ends with faith, hope, and love. These three remain, and the greatest of these is love. This is the message that Paul has taken from this servanthood statement of Jesus Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life, and saying, well, what does that mean for us as the church? We aren't Jesus. We are not giving our lives as a ransom for many, but we are called to serve one another and to serve the one who came. How do we serve each other? It's about building each other up, using our own gifts for the good of everyone, not lording it over each other, but sharing with each other. And the passage that we use in the Bible studies at Synod was Colossians 2:2, and I used the Message because it was prettier, that I want you to be woven into a tapestry of love, knowing all the mysteries of Christ. Woven into a tapestry of love so that we are stronger together. When you just have the pandanus leaves by themselves, they're all right. But when you weave them together, they can make a basket, they can make a mat. They're stronger together. And if we are all doing our jobs together and helping each other do each other's special gifts for the good of the whole, to work together, then we are an example. We are salt and light. But we also, we avoid, I don't know if avoid is the right word, but that jealousy that comes from competition. I'm better at serving than you. No, which is just the same as what happens at work. No, I should get that promotion. Why have you got that promotion? This is supposed to be different. We see each other as having special gifts that we can all use. And we don't use those gifts to make each other, to make ourselves the most important. The gifts are there to serve the people in your community. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, you sent your Son Jesus to serve us, to take us out of this world of competition and jealousy and put us into a world that is your Son's body, the body of Jesus Christ, where we celebrate one another's gifts and use our gifts to build one another up, to serve this community that you have called into being, these people who are so different from one another that the only thing that binds them together is your love. We give you thanks for the strength that you give us, for we know that we can do all things in your name. Amen.